Okay, so I'm going to repeat that. It's December 15th, 2019. It's 10:41, and this is the KPFK LSB meeting. We've already appointed Janine Roan as the secretary pro tem for this meeting until we elect a secretary. And secretary, could you please do the roll call?
Grace Aaron.
Here.
Ken Aaron.
Here.
Michael Adler.
Here. Present.
Hi, Michael.
Ellen Beek.
Ellen Beek?
No. Fred Blair.
Present.
Jeanette Charles.
Here's Ellen.
No, here we go.
Here he comes.
Okay, we have Ellen Beek.
Who was that?
Jeanette's going to call it.
Yeah, well, you can do that.
Fred Blair, we have as present. Jeanette Charles, again?
She's going to call in.
Okay, call in.
She's out in another country.
Sandy Childs?
Sandy Childs, she's ill. She asked me to, she's still recovering. She asked me to call, and I will do that now.
For the vote, any votes, or?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's a call-in. Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Bella DeSoto, present. Jan Goodman?
Present.
Jan Goodman, present. Eric C. Jacobson?
Here.
Eric Jacobson, present. Avelia Jones? Present. Avelia Jones, present. Allie Lexa?
Here.
Allie Lexa, present. Barbara Marbach?
Present.
Barbara Marbach, present. Michelle Manos?
Present.
Michelle Manos, present. Michael Novick.
He's away, but he may be calling in.
He requested his absence.
Yes.
Michael had spoken to me, said he's going to be on a plane.
All right.
And he doesn't have to, we don't have the technology like we had in 9/11,
he
so he can't.
He requested his absence in email.
Huh?
He requested his absence.
He requested his excused absence,
yes.
Okay.
Excused absence.
But that's later.
James Osborne?
Present.
James Osborne, present. Nancy Perlman?
Here.
Nancy Perlman, present. Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
Lawrence Reyes, present. Paul Robertson?
Present.
Paul Robertson, present. Mansoor Sabah?
Yeah, he's present. He's on the phone.
Oh, Colin.
Hello?
Mansoor Sabah called.
He's on
phone?
Right,
okay. Oscar Ulio?
I'm here.
Uloa.
Aloha?
I'm here.
Uloa.
I got you. I heard you.
Oscar Uloa? Here, present. Polina Vasilio? Okay. Polina is not yet here.
She's on the phone.
I'm sorry.
Is she on her way over, or is she going to do a phone call?
She's on her way over.
Beth Von Gotten? Beth Von Gotten, present. Kiana Williams?
Yeah,
she's on. Kiana Williams, present.
Okay, so how many people do we have? Well, you got a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 seated, and about three or four of them on the phone. So it seems like we almost have everybody.
So
okay, very good. Let's appoint a timekeeper. Could we get a timekeeper? Anybody volunteer for timekeeping? Okay, great. Paul Roberson is going to be the timekeeper. Now, let's look over the agenda and the time allocations before we go to the excused absences. So this meeting is going to take 4.5 hours, unless we're lucky and we get things done faster. But I think the key thing is we're going to get the agenda done, and hopefully the general manager is going to show up and do his report. And that's the bulk of the meeting. And then we have one motion.
The program director, Mr.
Kiel. So does anybody looking over the agenda, was emailed out, and I have copies up here if you need a printed copy.
Do you have papers for the public?
Yeah, it's right there.
Oh, thank you.
In fact, why don't you just hand them out? Could you just take those and hand them out? Thank you. And does anybody want to change anything in the agenda? Okay, Jan.
Allie, do you need a
I have a point of order or information. I'm not sure which one that is.
Could you use the microphone, please?
Oh, sure. It's not on.
Beth, you have more copies?
It's not on.
Okay. Well, Fred will get to that. Go ahead. Just speak a little louder.
Okay. It's a point of order or information. I'm not sure which. At the last meeting, we had a large discussion about not allowing people to participate in the meeting on the phone who were not 50 miles away or who were not ill. And I wanted to just make a motion that we have either a local...
Well, we're not open for motions right now. We're approving the agenda.
Well, I know.
That one's on the table.
Do you
want to change the agenda?
Well... Yes, I'd like to put something. I'd like to put a motion on the table, probably a new business.
Okay, great. We'll do.
With regard to having people call in.
Okay.
And I would like to also move that be put to the top of the agenda because we apparently have a number of people who would like to participate by phone, and I would like to facilitate that.
Okay, let's say we put this right after the opening business. No, let's put this after electing officers. Anybody on the phone, we'll do it just before electing officers because that's going to decide if people can vote for that. So we're going to add a motion at Jan's request to decide whether or not people can participate over the phone if they're less than 50 miles away and they are not in unusual circumstances like illness or significant event that they have to attend. So we're going to add that motion. Does anybody second that?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any
discussion?
Voting? Yes, go ahead.
So I object because then what will start to happen is that we will have a skeleton meeting. And people will be calling in from far away. This cannot be.
Okay, that's fine, but that's an argument on the motion. Do you object to adding the motion to the agenda?
Yes, I object to adding it to the agenda.
Okay, very good. Anybody else on this? Adding the motion to the agenda. We're not talking about the motion, just adding it to the agenda. And no other comment? So, pardon me, we're just voting on whether or not to add the item to the agenda. We're not discussing the item.
I was going to just say take it off and forget it.
Okay, you withdraw your request to add it?
I'll just withdraw the request.
Okay. All right. Thank you. The maker of the motion is withdrawing it. And I'll make a ruling that that's okay. We'll let you withdraw it. So... And now we go back up to the agenda. Any other changes to the agenda? Okay. Without objection, the agenda is accepted. So now we got excused absences, and actually, that always gets to be a little tricky in keeping count. We have Michael and Sandy, and who else do we have for excused absences? Do you have any others? Does anybody know of any others?
Michael
Novak and Sandy Childs. Okay, so just check with the group, ask for the hands if anybody accepts or objects.
I think that Jeanette Charles.
Jeanette Charles is on the phone.
Is she?
Is that
confirmed?
She's
in another
chair?
Country.
Chair?
She may or may not be
that's on the phone.
Chair?
Yes,
that
sir.
Would be more 50 miles.
Is it on?
Jeanette is in Arizona. I'm trying to connect with her to call in. Whether she's going to call in or not, I'll let you know.
Okay.
So for right now, should I do excused absence and change when she calls in?
Yeah, let's do Jeanette, too, until she calls in.
So I have Michael Adler, Jeanette Charles, Sandy Childs.
But we'll check one at a time. So I'll do the first one.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I motion it was accepted, but it was just called to my attention that the public wants to comment prior to the general manager and program director speak. Is there any possibility we can move up number one public comment before the report?
Okay, is anybody second moving the public comment before the general manager's report?
Second.
You seconded? Yeah. Anybody object to moving the public comment to before the manager's report? Okay, so let's vote on it. So let's say...
I'm going to object.
You object too, right?
This is the reason I'm objecting, because I believe that the public comment should be held directly after the report from the general manager and the program director.
Okay, yes, Bella?
Okay, withdraw.
Okay, withdrawn.
So
okay,
we're
any other changes?
We're keeping it, just for clarification, we're keeping it where it is?
Yes.
On the agenda, okay, because I think that's appropriate to review.
Okay, any other requested changes to the agenda? No? Good, agenda's approved. Now we're going to move on to excused absences. I'll do the first one, you do the second one. Does anybody object to, Michael Novick is on a plane going somewhere for the holidays. So he's asked for an excused absence. Does anybody object to Michael getting an excused absence? None. Okay, good. That's accepted. So you do the same thing for Sandy Childs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have Jeanette Charles.
No, first Sandy Childs.
And it's okay. Well, in alphabetical.
Yeah, okay.
So Jeanette Charles is...
Yes, go ahead, check for Sandy. Jeanette Charles.
So do I ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Is there any objection to accepting Jeanette Charles' excused absence?
And she's in Arizona.
Okay. Is there any objection to Sandy Childs' excused absence?
Right here.
That's one there.
Bella?
Can you say why she has...
Sandy Childs is recovering from medical treatment and is unable to attend. Okay. So we have one objection. So by show of hands, who objects to Sandy Childs' excused absence? One? Okay. Who approves Sandy Childs' excused absence? Okay, everybody else, thank you.
Okay,
so everything, we're done with the excused absences. Now, the minutes were distributed electronically, and I have about five copies here.
Chair, I have a question for me.
Yes.
So where was the public comment placed? After the GM and the PD report, is that going to be the new number five?
It's staying where it is.
Staying where it is, number
stay
six.
It's number seven.
Number six.
Yeah, I think it's number six.
Roman numeral six.
On the front page, and then we have another one.
That's right.
Number seven, right.
Look at the show. Yeah, mine got messed up a little bit here. Okay, so... Does anybody want to make a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting as distributed through email?
So moved.
Okay. Any second?
Second.
Okay. Any opposition to approve the minutes from the last meeting? Okay, they're approved.
Do we still have to ask about Michael Novak?
No, we're done. We already got Michael Novak. Okay, so now, the next meeting will be January 19th at 10:30 in this location. And just as a point of information, at that time we will elect directors for the national board. So you have a little time to get familiar with who's who. And also we will be electing members to national board committees. And maybe to, usually we don't have to elect to local committees. There's just, you know, anybody wants. So, but that, the next meeting will be January 19th. Okay, and the next thing is, oh, yeah, we want to take a moment here to set the meeting for the following month, February 9th, because we're moving that up. Normally, it would be February 16th, but that's a three-day weekend. It actually starts with Valentine's Day on the Friday, and then it goes through the 17th with President's Day. So Michael had requested that we change the date, and we wanted to make it a week earlier, February 9th, contingent on the space being available, which has not yet been confirmed. But
there's an email from them saying that...
Could you speak louder or use the mic? Do we got the mics working yet, Fred?
Michael's email says that he checked with the Peace Center
they are holding the dates, and they need to know regarding February and June so that they can release the dates if we're about to be using them. So
well, but just to simplify, is February 9th available?
Yes, that's what he's saying.
Okay, great. So that
takes care of it.
Thank you. It's available. So we're moving it to February 9th. Okay? Oh, yes, sir.
Point of information. As a newcomer to the LSB, it seems that this January 19th meeting where we're electing
directors
to the national board is very important.
One
of our most important votes and functions. Is there any process by which we can, for those who are going to be candidates and wish to be appointed, is there any way those of us voting for the first time, just getting acquainted with our peers on the board?
In that meeting, people will announce and talk. If you want to, nominate yourself,
okay.
You can. There's no procedure.
I can just barely hear people.
Well, we could.
Okay.
You need to lower that.
Yeah.
You got to make it lower.
Point of information is your.
Wait. Point of order. Point of order. Everybody, chill out. Chill out.
What I'm asking.
There's no protocol for campaigning or nominating except in the meeting. So you know, if you want to invent one, go ahead.
What I was going to propose is for those who wish to be considered, if they would write a paragraph or two on their priorities and their viewpoints on some of the big issues that we all are aware
of going on
the national board in advance, so we could perhaps see it a week ahead or something like that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let's go on. And
Chair.
All right, wait a minute. Chill. So we got Beth and Lawrence. No, Beth and Barbara and Lawrence.
So for those of us who have standing commitments on the second Sunday of each month, how do we negotiate that difference? Because now that I'm on this board, I prioritize. I dedicate the third Sunday, and I don't make other commitments at this time. But to hold other dates open without, how do I honor both commitments?
Okay, well, you can possibly call in for the meeting or whatever else, but there's no other accommodation. But I want to point out, the only people of qualified to be elected to the national board have to have already served for a full year. Okay? So, but in any event.
But just as a regular.
Normally it's going to be the third Sunday. In this case, we made an exception. Because people have been planning to be out on that 3-day weekend. So I can't answer that. There's no accommodation.
Let's be here, but as a general rule, as a community organizer, it really, really pays to be consistent and predictable, because we're not just here for those of us on the board. We're here for, it's a public meeting.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
So let's see, Barbara and then Lawrence.
I would like to suggest to move it to the 23rd. I have the same issue in terms of probably not being here on the 9th. And I think your point is well taken in terms of getting to know the people on the board and the issues. So I think this would just give a little more time for that to happen. So I want to push for the 23rd.
Okay, very good. Lawrence?
Yeah, I'd like to agree with Mr. Jacobson. I think that's a sage idea to have people who are going to postulate themselves to write a bullet point of priorities. But I also agree with Barbara that I won't be here on the 9th. I have I'm involved in a political tour, so I won't be here. So I'd like to request that we hold a meeting on the 23rd.
It's not the 23rd. It's the the third Sunday.
No, I thought it was the second Sunday.
Because you're moving it off the 3rd because of the holiday.
I'm moving it from the 3rd, February...
to the 2nd.
To the 2nd.
And I have a conflict with that. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that...
And you want to move it to the 3rd, the 4th?
The 23rd is the 4th.
Sure. Yeah, okay, wait a second. We're actually going to vote on this. So everybody, you're done? Yes, Michelle.
Just wondering about how many people were accommodating by moving it. Is this necessary?
Because it's a 3-day weekend?
I don't know. At least Michael.
There was an accommodation for several of us to be at the convention in Long Beach, and that was shot down. I'm just wondering,
When is the convention in Long Beach?
That was in November.
The last one, okay.
I'm just saying, if we're just accommodating maybe one or two people, perhaps we can keep it where it is.
Okay, let's go to Joan, Grace, sorry, Grace, Nancy, then Bella.
I have a point of order. I think Ms. Manos could disagree by with your vote.
Okay, hold it a minute. There's enough dissension on the date of the 9th that we're going to have a vote. So we're going to pick it, whether it's going to be now it's open for the 9th, the 16th, or the 23rd. And now, so we are going to vote on that. There's not a consensus here. But Grace, hold it a minute. Bella, then Grace.
The reason for the date is not because of an event, as it was the case when Ms. Manos asked to be changed the date last month. This is because of a long weekend holiday, which affects a general population, and it's for that reason that the 9th seemed more suitable. It's for that only reason, not to suit one individual or two or three, because it's a long holiday. That was the rationale behind it.
Thank you for that.
Okay, Grace?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Michael, can you hear me? Michael Adler? Is the 23rd, is the Peace Center available on the 23rd?
He doesn't know that.
Yes, there's an email that says it's an option.
Michael, I can't hear you. Okay, let me see.
Can someone pull up the email that I sent and take a look?
Yes, he sent an email at 8:16 this morning stating February 9th and 23rd are our alternatives.
Oh, okay.
And we should determine which days soon so we can let the Peace Center know.
Okay, so I suggest we just take a vote.
Right, that's what we're going to do as soon as we're done with discussion. And we got Nancy, then Paul.
A good point was made that you have regular meeting dates unless there's an absolutely exceptional reason to change it. You keep it where you have it on the 16th. You start changing it. Yes, it's a three-day holiday, but how many people are going out of town on the three-day holiday? You change the date, then you end up with people who have other regular conflicts on the other dates. The 9th is a problematic for one person. The 23rd, I'll be out of the country. I scheduled my trip based on our regular meeting date. So I moved my trip out of the country.
Well, yes. What are you
advocating? So the point that I'm making is, unless you're not going to be able to acquire quorum on your regular meeting date, because it's a three-day weekend, you keep it.
Okay, thank you. Very good. And Paul.
Okay, do we need a substitute motion?
Use a microphone.
No, hold it. There's no substitute motion. Hold it a second. Let everybody discuss. Can we cut the noise down, please? Grace, stop it. Paul?
Well, I'm saying something about the microphone, and I guess thoroughly for your comment, I totally agree with that. I think we should even go further by putting that information online so that the public can review it and see it and kind of participate in the process and give their opinions to the board members so we can make a more informed decision.
Okay, let's stay. The topic on the floor now is the next meeting date. That's right. The topic on the floor.
February.
So, hold it a second. We're going to vote. Oh, yeah, February. The 19th, January 19th is the next meeting, but we're talking about February. So you ready for this?
Yes.
So it's up to three dates, either
February 9th,
9th, 16th, or the 23rd. Discussion's over. We have a lot to do in the meeting. We can't just talk about everything forever. So I'm going to start with the original date, which is the 16th. By show of hands, how many people prefer we meet on February 16th? And you're going to do the count. Count the hands.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Also, add Sandy Childs.
I did. That's 14. We have 13, and then she's 14.
Counted
15.
Me.
No, I didn't.
Okay, great. How many people would alter that to go to February 9th? One. Good. How many people would alter that to go to February 23rd? One. Okay, thank you. So there we go.
And I'm going to abstain on this.
Okay, thank you, Michael. So there we go. Okay, you got 15, 1, and 1.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. So the next meeting will be on, the February meeting will be on February 16th. Okay, now, again, we have a lot to do, so I'm going to move fast here. We have, our election has been completed, and I'm going to call your names, and if you could please stand up, if you're in the room, and these are the new members, Alan Beek, Beth Van Gunten, stand when I call your name, Eric C. Jacobson, Evila Jones,
Evila
Jones, excuse me, James Osborne, and Jeanette Charles, and she's on the phone. Okay?
She's not.
Well, let's
she's
give,
in Arizona.
Arizona, okay. Let's give them a hand, please.
Yay.
Thanks for persisting through. Okay, very good. And now, no, we don't have time for speeches. No time. Okay, and now, reelected. They ran and were reelected. Please stand when I call your name. Barbara Marbach, Lawrence Reyes, Paul Roberson, Sandy Childs, who's not attending.
And she's on the phone.
She's on the phone. Polina, and I'm not going to pronounce
Vasilia.
Her last name.
Vasilia.
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 The master.
Yeah, okay. And Ali Alexa. There you go. Give me a hand. Okay, very good. And now we're going to move right into election of officers. Now, for the new members, this is the thing. Oh, by the way, Fiorella, you're not on the board.
This is the one that's
your term expired. You were filling in for someone whose term expired.
News to me. I wasn't told any of this.
Well, it was emailed out.
It was emailed out, yeah.
Okay, so in any event, the way elections work is it's called single transferable voting. If we have three people voted for position of chair, three people were running, and the two tie, and then you'd see where the second choice, or what people took as their second choice, their first choice, their second choice. I don't even understand it, but John Gary's going to administer it. So let's first go for the chair and take nominations for the chair. You got to keep this in writing. Okay, Lawrence.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Michelle Manos.
Michelle Manos. Do we need seconds for nominations?
No.
Does she accept the nomination?
Yeah, do you accept?
I humbly accept. Thank you, Lawrence.
Okay, very good. Any other nominations for chair?
Yes, I nominate myself.
Okay, Alan Beek. Any other nominations for chair? Yes, Alan.
Nominate Kinnear.
Okay, I'll run. Okay, any other nominations? Yes,
Paul Roberson.
Paul Roberson, that's four people. Okay. Any other nominations for chair? Okay, I'm closing the nominations. So, John, how are you doing? You got paper ready?
Yeah, we have four nominees that have accepted?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes, Grace.
Paul Roberson has not accepted.
Yeah, I don't accept that. I don't accept for chair.
He doesn't.
Respectfully and humbly.
Can I say something, please?
Well,
I want to say something. I'd like to say that the responsibilities of the chair.
Okay, good point.
Include the chair is responsible to make sure that these meetings occur and that they function properly. So, for instance, if the secretary quits or is sick or something, it's the responsibility of the chair to ensure that there's a pro tem, a temporary secretary for that meeting. It's the responsibility of the chair to make sure that the committees are functioning. It's the responsibility of the chair to make sure that the secretary posts the meetings on the national website and also on the local website. It's the responsibility of the chair to attend the governance committee meeting and to set the agenda and to make sure that all the business of the this local station board are fulfilled. So it takes quite a bit of time to do all this. Just want to know that it's not just simply facilitating the meetings. It's also doing the work to make sure that between the meetings the board is functioning, that there's agendas, that the work is getting done, that the meetings are posted properly. All of that The secretary, of course, has a lot of that work, but if the secretary fails to do the work, it's up to the chair to ensure that it gets done.
Okay, thank you. And I would just add one other comment. Also, you have to, as the chair, be alert to the bylaws that are not being violated, so you have to study them and know them. And also, supporting the bylaws is a thing called Robert's Rules of Order, because that enables us to all meet and disagree and agree and come to decisions. That's the Robert's Rules and the bylaws. Okay, so now we're going to go to the election. Are you ready, John, to hand out the ballots?
Can we hear from the nominees, Chair?
Thank you for that correction. Each nominee will make a presentation about why they should be elected. So we'll go in the order that they were nominated. I think it was Michelle, and then
Alan Beek,
and then Ken Aaron. Go ahead, Michelle.
And then Paul Robeson.
No, Paul declined.
Oh, he declined.
Thank you for the nomination. I believe in this station. I believe in Pacifica, and I believe that this board can do. As you have known of me, those of you who know me from the time I was making public comment as a listener until now, being on the board, my biggest point of advocacy has been to find respect and functionality on this board, so that we can participate in the Pacifica mission in an effective way, and so that we can participate in bringing KPFK back to a place of real, robust participation in the community. And so if I can play some small role in bringing some functionality to this board so that we are making positive impact on our mission, then I'm happy to do that. And if you all see fit, I'm happy to serve. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Alan, can you speak without a mic?
Give him
the mic over there. There's one. There you go.
I'm running because I know how to run a meeting, and I think that's what we need. I would just mention 6 points I would consider in running the meeting. One, it's not the responsibility of the chair to do all the talking. The chair should get you going and then shut up.
Pardon me a moment. Joan, please.
Second, there will be no interrupting of the speaker. If the speaker makes a mistake, you do not stop him and interrupt him and correct the mistake. Even if he lies, let him keep going. When he is finished, you hold up your hand with your fingers spread to show your horror at his mistakes. Even then, you don't try to correct them. There is simply a note made in the minutes that person spoke, and that this person thinks his remarks need to be corrected. Later on, you can approach that if you think it needs to be taken care of. The third point I would make is that if the speaker misses some word or mispronounces it, or you're confused, did he mean President Roosevelt or President Teddy Roosevelt, you put up your fingers if you want to speak, and the chair will give you 30 seconds to ask a quick question and give him 30 seconds to make a quick answer. You do not use that for hostile or sarcastic questions. Third point, points of order. If something is going wrong, you do not yell, point of order. If you do, you're out of order. You hold up your fist to show that you think something is wrong. And if I am the chair and I'm presiding, I will recognize you. You will say what you think I'm doing wrong. I will either accept or reject your suggestion. If I reject it and you still want to stick to it, we immediately hold a vote right there when the chair or the objector is sustained, and then you go do what they have wanted. Fourth point I would make is that there will be no filibustering. If you want to end the debate, it takes only a majority vote to end debate. But I would urge people not to do that until both sides have been heard. Finally, I would, when it's time for the public to speak, I would pass out to the people who want to speak, giving them the e-address of the board, so they can send what they want to say, so we see it in writing. We know what they're talking about. The public comments are generally a disaster here. They don't have time to make a speech that we can understand. We don't have time to discuss it with them.
I can't.
We don't give it any civilized treatment. If they send their own email, then we can all read it. We know what they're talking about. We may refer it to a committee. The committee may invite them to come discuss it. It will actually get. And so I will try to tell them that we, they have something to say, and we want to know what it is. And finally, I would make sure everybody knows the difference between an amendment and a substitute motion. An amendment is friendly. You like the motion. You want to improve it so it'll have a better chance to pass. You try to improve it with an amendment. A substitute is hostile. It's when you think the motion is going the wrong way and you want to try something different. If the substitute motion is then what's...
Okay, hold it a minute, Alan. Please, leave the sound off. Don't alter the sound, please. Go ahead.
The substitute motion is on the floor, can be debated and improved. You finally vote on it. If the substitute motion passes, that's what's happened, and the original motion has disappeared and vanished. If the substitute motion is defeated, it disappears and has vanished, and you're back to the original motion on the floor and debating it and trying to improve it and so on.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Okay, I'll speak for nominating me, for voting for me. So I'm the chair, so most everybody here has experienced my tirades and attempts to keep order and successes and failures, and that's all fine. I do want to point out one thing. Whoever gets elected, and the main thing is somebody to run the meeting. It's easy to run when everybody agrees. You know, there's no arguments. It's by consensus. The trick is to handle when there's disagreement and conflict. And, you know, I certainly hope we get a better chair than me. I always hope for that in any position. Get the best person. But I do want to point out, whoever gets elected today, at any time, the board can make a motion to elect another member, to open up the position of chair, vice chair, or whatever. And so that can happen later, and especially for the new members. You're not that familiar with who's running for any office and so forth. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. Your first day, you got to elect a chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. So that's all. Vote for me. Vote for whoever you want. That's all. And now we're going to move to the vote. John? We've got three people. Michelle Manos. One second, Ali. Michelle Manos, Alan, and Ken. Yes?
For the purposes of non-confusion, I think that non-board members shouldn't be sitting within the board.
Non-board members should not be sitting.
But just
the woman at the end of the table.
She's
no longer. Fiorella.
Okay, Fiorella, if you mind sitting in the audience.
Yeah.
But
thank you
for your service.
Can
I
Aaron?
Yes, one chair. Second. One minute.
Requesting that you email her the information that you sent to the board.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I will.
Turned out and who was coming in.
Yeah, okay. Jan, I'm going to tell you something. This is, you know, this might be one of my last actions here. When we're in the vote, whether we're voting on something or we're doing a paper ballot vote, no points of order or objections or information or anything. We're just voting. So the only time somebody could ask is, well, what are we voting for exactly? But no harassment, no like, oh, wait a minute, I have a point of information. I want to ask a long, detailed question. It's just campaigning on an issue or on a candidate. So we're moving into the vote. All right, I'm going to leave the door open for two people, and that's it. Then we're going to the vote. And that's Jan was first, and then Allie.
So I wanted to know the procedure for the people who are on the phone, and I have a suggestion, and that is that they could send a text to our person who's counting, and just if we give the people the
Okay, that's a good suggestion. John, you want to text or you want to hold it on the phone? You want them to talk to you or text you?
It was text last time he did it.
Text? Yeah, but I do it with voice, and to retain privacy, I have to run out and okay, run back.
The issue is I don't want to publicly give your phone number out.
And I don't have a phone, so that won't be a problem.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so they send a text to whoever's phone.
Yeah, text to whoever, yes.
Whose phone they're okay. dealing
but
with.
But first you have to confirm that that can actually happen, because I can't order it.
Can Michael just do it by voice now?
Okay, so the issue will be, okay, so the chair rules that people operating on the phone during this vote can text their response to whoever phone they're on, and that person will show the text to the, what's it called? What's your position?
Teller.
The teller. Okay, and now is Ali.
Are we doing STV voting on this?
Yes.
Yeah. We might want to explain the process for
the
members.
Wait, it's a single seat contest. If it's a tie, you flip a coin. What do the other votes
That's
have to do?
That's why I was asking.
What did the other, yeah, it's a, what do you, it's a runoff.
Okay, hold it.
If it's three people, it's STV.
Slow down. Ken. We'll go to Fred. He's the most experienced.
I want John to explain the ranked choice voting. People need to.
I'm
sorry.
Yeah, but it's a single seat contest. Okay. It's first past the post.
No, but the point is that people need to have a list of ranked candidates.
Correct.
That's the important thing. This is how it's different than the majority voting system that we normally use. We list ranked candidates, our first choice, our second choice, our third choice, and on our ballot. Not, we're voting for one person or not anybody else.
Yeah, so you're free to put one, two, three, or zero names on your ballot. You can leave a blank ballot as a protest ballot. That's admissible. You can put one, two, or three candidates. If you put more than one, please put a number by the candidate's name. If you do not put a number by the candidate's name, I will simply choose the name at the top of the ballot, right?
As number one.
As number one, and that will be your vote.
And then the second one will be number two.
I'm just saying.
There is, but they are ranked one, two, and three.
Correct. I will read the rankings as one, two, and three, moving down the page. So, and you're not obligated to rank all three. If you want to just put one, your favorite, you can do that. You're not obligated to rank all three. You can just put one, and that's fine. If there's one on there, there's no ambiguity. You can put more than one. You can one, two, three, or blank. And don't do any write-ins, because you can't do write-ins, but you can't write in someone who's not on the LSB. You have to be a member of the LSB to be the chair of the LSB. So a write-in for someone not on the board will just be considered a non-vote, a protest vote or something. All right? So a couple of things. I need to know... Will the secretary please tell me how many voting members are physically present?
Physically.
For ballot.
Well, we have call-ins for Michael Adams.
I have paper ballots. I need to know how many I'm going to give out.
Grace, Ken. Alan.
What did you say, 19?
Yeah, but if you use Excel, it's easier. I have Excel. So I have Grace, Ken, Alan, Fred, Bella, Jan, Eric, Avelia, Allie, Barbara, Michelle, James, Nancy, Lawrence, Paul, Oscar, Beth, Kiana.
She just needs the number, not the name.
So 18.
I got 20.
Okay, I need a number.
Actually, John, you only need the number when you collect
five,
the ballots.
No, he's going to control it by handing out.
You always know how many ballots you
have.
19.
I count 20. Is there anyone at the table not voting? Everyone at the seat at the table is in.
One, two, three, four, five, six, oh, seven,
that's right.
Eight,
she
nine,
okay,
10,
so
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
19.
All right, and I need to know, and how many telephonic voters are there?
If you have a telephonic voter, raise your hand, please.
I have two.
You have two?
I have Mansoor. Mansoor's on the phone, too.
So okay. Who are your two?
Mansoor Sabah. And Sandy Chuck.
Oh, Sandy.
And then, and Grace has Michael Adler. And what about Jeanette Charles?
Jeanette Charles bowed out.
Bowed out, okay. So,
three on the phone.
We've got three on the phone.
22, John.
Yes. Oh, so there's no telephonic on this side of the table?
No.
1, 2, 3. Okay.
Michael Novak.
All right, and...
No. He's not present.
Michael Adler.
Yeah, but Michael Novak's in my list.
He's on a plane.
Yeah, but he's not. He's on a plane.
So he's an excused absence.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Ken.
We're in a vote.
I'm going to pass them out, and then I'll pick them up.
And you only have to fold the ballot over once.
Yeah, please write on the printed side of the ballot. Don't write on the blank side of the ballot.
Don't do
so
it.
Nobody overlooks it or becomes confused.
Origami.
Artwork. On the ballot.
And after I pass out the ballots, I will take care of the telephonic. Voting.
Thank you.
Do we have to sign this?
No.
No.
Question about process.
You should suggest how much time to get in touch with you. So
thank you.
Okay, I'm going to... I'm going to write down the telephonic ballots on a regular ballot and include them in the same stack. So every vote will be on the same type of ballot. Grace, are you? Can I?
Yeah.
John?
Is your electronic ballot, have you received your electronic ballot yet? Or I can go to Jan. Jan, if you wish to know.
Okay, so here we go.
Okay, I'm going to write it down. I'm writing down. Okay. And the other person.
It's standard practice on these elections that the teller gives the secretary the ballots in the tally sheet in an envelope after the election.
This
is a standard tally sheet.
Okay.
Also, when I count the ballots,
John,
you're allowed to observe the count. I don't have to sit and do it by myself. People, members
John?
Of the public and members of the board can watch me and do the count and confirm it.
John, do you need a tally sheet?
No, the secretary is just going to write down the results.
Thank you for the service.
Okay, and I can come back.
These are round by round counts.
Any ballots that I haven't corrected?
Right here.
Paper ballots? Okay.
Normally, this is filled out by the teller.
Oh, okay. There you go. Thank you.
Okay, first I'm just going to count, open up and count the ballots from the numbers. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22. Okay, now I'm going to read out the ballots, and I'm going to, and I'll read out the tally for each one. Well, anyone's free to keep a tally while I do this. Anyone's free to do that. So I'm going to read all three names, and I'll create a pile, and I'll recount them to confirm. All right.
You're sorting them by candidate, by
the number one, by the top.
He's just going to read them all. Go ahead.
Should I read all the votes?
No, just no, sort them by the number one, by the primary candidate.
All right. And I'm going to, Michelle. Alan Beek, one. Michelle Munns. Michelle Munns. Ken. Michelle Munns. Ken Aaron. Number one, Ken. Michelle. Number one, Alan Beek. Number one, Ken Aaron. Michelle Munns. Number one, Ken Aaron. It says Ken Allen. I'm going to, that's Ken Aaron because the first, because Ken and A go together. And at the bottom it says Allen, so I'm going to assume Ken Allen is Ken Aaron.
No, you should not assume that, John.
Well, we're allowed to interpret the intent of the voter.
Okay.
Now, if you disagree with my interpretation, the board of the chair can decide. The number one vote is Ken Allen. The number two is Michelle. The number three is Allen. So I'm going to interpret this that number three means Alan Beek, and number one is a mistake. Ken is very clear. It says Ken Allen. I'm interpreting the intent of the voter was Ken Aaron.
Okay.
That's my interpretation of this ballot. You can the board.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We got it.
Okay. Michelle M. Oh, I'm sorry. They're numerical, but that was not the top ballot. So my mistake. Number one is Ken. Michelle Munns. Now I haven't kept a count. So would you like me to recount each stack? Okay, I'm going to start. 12,
8, I have 22 votes.
Okay, would you like me to recount? Would you like me to recount each stack?
Count the stacks. Count.
Okay, I need a direction from you. Do you like me to recount each stack, or are you set the board
stacks? Please count each stack.
Okay, I'm counting the Michelle Munns stack. One, two, three, four, five. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's 12 ballots for Michelle Munns.
I have 13.
I have 12.
I have 12.
Would you like a recount of the paper ballots?
One of them was retracted.
Count.
Yeah. Is that a yes or no, Chair?
No.
Would you like a recount of the Michelle Munns paper ballots?
I would like to.
Okay, I'll do it again.
Is that
a fact? No, you can't. I'm sorry. Only tell me the best ballots. I'm sorry.
No,
you're welcome to work.
Direction.
One. Two.
It's full of procedure.
Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. Ten. 11. 12.
Okay.
Satisfactory?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to read the Ken Aaron stack again. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Ken Aaron. The Alan Beek stack is one, two. And now the chair announces the results.
Okay, so as my last act of chair, I want to acknowledge Michelle Manos won this election. Let's give her a hand. You come up here and you conduct the rest of the meeting.
Jump right in, Michelle.
Prepare yourself for a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe can we move forward with the vice
take
chair?
Many nanoseconds.
Does anybody else want a 5-minute break? That was a good suggestion.
I think you just keep going.
Let's move forward with the vice chair vote.
Bring my coffee and that's okay for now. My bags. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. I certainly am humbled and appreciative of your confidence. I hope we'll all stick together as I get acclimated. And thank you, Ken. Let's give Ken a round for his service. Alan?
There are three more elections to go, and they are very time-consuming, and the general manager is here ready to give his report. I suggest have the general manager report now and do the voting later.
Are you making a motion? Okay.
Two copies.
Okay.
This is only
are we making? Are you making a motion?
It's a suggestion to the chair.
Okay, I'm gonna stick to the agenda. And if that's all right with Danielle, stick to the agenda.
I'm going to represent the station at Senator Portantino's holiday celebration. Gives me a chance to meet some community folks out there. So that's my other line item today in terms of KPFK business. And I've got a lot to cover in this presentation. I was actually going to ask for almost probably an hour, but I'm going to keep it as brief as possible and get through as much as I can.
Would anyone like to make a motion to move the director's report to right now on the agenda?
I make a motion
to do so. So a motion and a second? Okay. Any objections?
We need a GM report. You said director.
Right. Oh, sorry. Apologies. GM report. See, you guys are going to help me get through this.
Don't worry.
Seeing no objections, I'm going to turn it over to Anya.
Okay, I need the projector screen, so we might have to move.
Okay,
move a little bit. I brought a projector. Is there a small table I can use to set up here?
There's a podium. There's a podium over there.
Oh, this will work.
I think it's going to take too long.
Yes?
They're both are pretty cumbersome.
Point of order.
Go ahead.
Was there a vote in changing the agenda?
Yes, there was no objection.
It was a motion, second, and no objection.
There was no objection?
No objection.
I didn't hear that. But you, in other words, you asked if there
I did ask objection. If there were any objections.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just need to... I think it's probably got the feedback. Power here. So. Okay.
Yeah.
John. Probably something higher.
John. Are you hearing okay, Michael?
Is this good, Jen?
We'll make work. You don't have a high, something higher?
Hang on a second. You'll be right back.
That'll work. That'll work. We'll make it work.
Yeah, but his camera's on there and all of that.
Can this come down any lower? Maybe it's around the table.
Move this chair out of the way.
That's it. Is that it?
Hi, Michael.
What's that?
I really like
your ideas.
Here, do you need something higher?
Probably about here. I think that'll work. Yeah. Can we turn at least these lights off over here?
Lights?
Yeah.
elected official. There's some publication.
I'll send it to you. I'll email it to you guys.
She'll be right back. She's not here right now.
Are we not voting for the vice president, vice chair?
The general manager is
here.
No, this is good.
You got it.
I'll do that.
And I probably need a microphone.
Yep.
Okay, I'm good. Might want to turn this down. My voice is pretty loud. I want to take an opportunity to welcome new members of LAV. And as I did with the new members from the last election, I humbly give you an invitation to the station and come spend the day with me so you can gain an understanding of what happens at the station and our day-to-day operations and have a deeper conversation in what challenges the station faces and what opportunities are on the table for the station. So I'll go ahead and get started with the budget. Budget presentation. This is more of a narrative. I feel it's necessary that you understand some context to the spreadsheet that you were sent. I think, Fred, you sent that to everybody that Barry put together for the budget for 2020.
Can you lighten up the screen?
That's as bright as it gets. Let me see if I can get any brighter.
We'll manage if that's it. Your information is more important.
Okay, so I will also email this presentation to you guys today as a PDF. So one of the challenges the station faces and that I've encountered is a broken budget process. Earlier this year, it was my hopes that we would have the 2017-2018 audits done in order for us to look at actual information, actual real numbers, to develop a budget. As I got myself acclimated with the budget process and the finances of the station and membership information of the station, I have come to realize that we don't have accurate information, timely audits, which makes for a messy budget process. Also, it's been challenging to get membership information that I feel is necessary to budget for the future. For example, one of the challenges that we do face is when we come out of a fund drive, I can't accurately tell you or the station can't inform you of how much that fund drive actually cost us. And I think that's important for us to look at as we move the station forward. And how much are we spending to raise a dollar? Traditionally, we spend about 10 cents to 30 cents on the dollar, in some cases more, depending on the premium. But there are other costs that need to be factored into as well. It's my hope, as we move the station forward, we'll be able to provide a separate report on on-air fund drive, as well as the revenue that came from it, and we see what our return on investment is. Also, there's no way to separate information when someone makes a pledge without a gift, which is something I think we need to keep an eye on because we want to encourage our donors to make pledges without taking a thank you gift. That's when the station realizes the majority of the money per dollar. Looking to have the budget started, start the budget process earlier on it this coming year, given that I want to bring more information to the table as we work on the next budget. I also feel that the IED or ED, whichever it is at the time, and the CFO need to either vet the budget produced by the business manager and myself, because this is going to give us a chance to, one, correct any wrong information, and also get another pair of professional eyes and those that are intimately involved with financial the financial aspects of the station and the foundation. Now, I went back and looked at 9 years worth of audits. I'm sorry, well, close to 9 years, with the exception of 2019 and 2018. I know this slide is hard to see, but I'll give you an idea of what those lines represent. I wanted to see when the last time the station actually had a surplus, and that was back in 2011. If you want this information to see the financial, financial information where I got this, you can go to the Pacifica Foundation website and look at the financials there. There's the third-party audits that are available to the public. So these three lines, the very top one are expenses. And you see 2015 is a significant year in KPFK history, so to speak, because that is when the last GM had made significant cuts to the staff. And that's another story in how those expenses arrived and the fallout at the station. You'll see in this next slide, also the very bottom line is the personnel expenses. I felt it was necessary to show that, as some members of the board have some concerns about personal costs. Now, I took the averages of 5 years and the averages of 9 years and looked at the revenue and also the expenses. So with the 5 year mark, we have an average. Let me back up a little bit. This also includes depreciation numbers in all of these averages. Now, the 5 year average, the station has ran an $89,000 deficit. 9 year average has been an $88,000 deficit. In the last fiscal year, 2018-2019, we are at a $65,981 deficit. Fred sent you guys some numbers this morning. That did not include the depreciation, and that depreciation number varies from year to year. I won't get into a conversation and explaining how those variables do pan out. That's not a number I create. It's something that the financial folks do. Now, in 2019, we had some extraordinary expenses. The station, or Pacifica, I'm not sure who to point the finger to, did not pay into employees' pension and 403B plans for a number of years. When I started my tenure, there's a grievance against the station, and I worked with SAG-AFTRA and the national office to come to a conclusion on this, and there was quite a bit of money spent to sort this out. So the station had, I also felt it was necessary that we do pay into people's pension and 403B payments, as these were required by us because we made an agreement with the staff to make those payments. And so we did make those payments. It's $130,000 just in 2019 alone that we had to pay that. Normally we would not be paying that money out, that significant amount out in any given fiscal year. This also doesn't even factor in what we paid in 2018 or the previous fiscal year. We've also had to pay $25,000 back to the Material World Foundation. Material World Foundation bestowed KPFK a $50,000 grant about 3 or 4 years ago, and that money was taken from a restricted account by the national office. I was not present for that, and I can't explain the rationale behind that. The Material World Foundation, doing what they do, wanted to know how the money was being spent and had a prop and for it to provide a proper accounting of those dollars that they did bestow upon us. By way of Maggie and myself, we were able to work something out with the Material World Foundation. They said, you know what, just pay us half of what we gave you. And so we did make those payments. So it's $25,000 that normally we would not have to be paid back. I do hope in moving forward, as we seek funding from foundations, and when we do get grants that are actually restricted funds, we do honor those agreements. Also in early summer, the station was unfortunately a victim of fraud. The national office had received a fraudulent bill vis-a-vis an email saying that the station had owed them $28,000. This happened without, one, my approval or the approval of the business manager, and that money was transferred out of our account. Now, we did file an insurance claim. This was when Maxie was the executive director, and we were going through that process, and unfortunately at this time, I don't know when or if we will get that money back. Also, this year, earlier this year, as many of you do or don't know, we did have a layoff, and that was one of our hosts, Gerald Critley. And I put an approximation up there, not an exact number of what he was severance. So we had another $30,000 that normally we would not have to pay. I wanted to put this other number up here, $20,000 endowment that seems to be missing. I look back at the 2016 audit. It appears the station was given an endowment in 2012, and that's something that we are looking for. Be nice to know that we do have an endowment, encourage donors also to put money into that endowment. So not counting the endowment, the station has incurred approximately $233,000 of extraordinary expenses. Oops. This will be better to read when I send it to you, but I wanted to put the last three fiscal years up side by side so you can see the various expenses and revenue for those 3 years. Here's a bigger picture of just 2019. The revenue, Sixty-two percent of expenses are due to personnel costs. The second highest expense is central services. Next is followed by development expenses. Development expenses relate to fundraising and membership operations. Next to that is programming expenses. That's related to getting us on the air. Expenses such as microwave transmitter repairs, transmissions lines, etc. Also, the third expense is actually administrative expenses. Sorry, program expenses actually falls below administrative expenses. Admin expenses account for 13.23%, and that's to administer the day-to-day operations. That includes office supplies, electricity. Sorry about that. Office supplies and electricity, as well as can we turn on the light one just for a short bit so I can see my face? There
you go. You want a chair to set that on?
Yeah, that'll help actually.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, you can turn the lights back. All right, this next tab shows central services. I think KPFK is unfairly taxed, so to speak, with central services. We pay the highest central services out of all of the five units. Even in times when KPFA generates more revenue, we are still paying more central services than anyone. I felt it's necessary for us to bring this up since it's our second biggest expense next to personnel costs if we're going to look at steep budget cuts, I think this needs to be taken into consideration, because any kind of steep budget cuts will adversely affect our ability to fundraise. From my understanding, before it was a hard number was set, the station used to pay 16% on the previous year's listener support. Now, since the beginning of my tenure, we've made an effort to reduce some expenses. They haven't been steep or drastic expense cuts, but I felt it was necessary to discuss those and also some of our revenue areas in which show some increases. We've seen an increase in event income by 75%, and this is where I feel is a very big bright spot. We've seen donations in between $500 and $999, up by 71%. These are donations, the majority of these donations are without premiums. I think it's very important that those people within that range continue to have conversations with in hopes of talking them or convincing them or wooing them into donating more in the following years. This past year, KPFK has converted its T1 line service to Finality NetFortress as a voiceover IP company, and that's given us a savings of $3,200 a year. We're in the process of adding the Teleconnect Fund, which is a fund California has for nonprofits to help cover their telecom costs. If you look on your cell phone bills or even some of your phone bills, you'll see a Teleconnect Fund. It's my hope that our AT&T, which is one of our largest bills, one of our largest telecom costs, is going to be afforded some discounts too as well. We also just finished upgrading our mailing equipment to Pitney Bowes. This allows us to generate tracking information, and with the U.S. Postal Service encourages us to use it, as this will help reduce postal costs. This gives us a savings of about $12,000 annually. And this is a projection because it's also based upon how many packages we mail out per year. We're also in the process of negotiating and looking at other credit card processors. We're looking at saving, in the way that negotiations are going now and looking at services, we will be saving about 1% on all credit card transactions. And in the coming months, I'll have more information as we get closer to signing an agreement with the credit card processor and apply what that discount would or what that savings would look like on our fundraising efforts. Now, in this next section, I'm going into staff costs, personnel costs. As you know, it's the most expensive line item in our operating budget. I felt it was necessary to show or juxtapose what KPFK staff gets paid. And so I put together a median income. And you may not be able to see the numbers, but again, I'll email this to you out. The median income for a full-time employee at KPFK is $50,639. Part-time employee is $32,635. The median income in Los Angeles County is $65,006. In California, it's $71,000. And in PR stations, it's $88,000. And at our friends at KCRW, $109,000. I felt it was necessary to show this because I've heard some folks say KPFK employees are living high on the hog. I can tell you, while I do love pork belly, I'm certainly not living high on it, nor any of my colleagues at the office. I took time to read the California Economic Impact Study, and I found this stat fitting to share in this budget process. Nonprofits with expenses in between $1 million and $4.99 million have a median of 27 full-time employees. KPFK has 23 full-time employees and 10 part-time and a handful of temp employees that we bring in during fund drives or in other extraordinary circumstances. Now, here's a staff summary. KPF employs 33 employees and over 200 volunteers, 23 full-time, 10 hourly. 22 of those members are SAG-AFTRA. You have three executive managers, one chief engineer. In this past 2 years, KPFK has added three full-time employees. And this is one of the reasons why you see a jump in personnel expenses. I'll get into that a little bit later. I also show here, and you can better look at it when I email it to you, are the projected expenses. I also felt it was important as a general manager, I look at all circumstances and try and plan for various contingencies as much as I can. If necessary, the estimated layoff cost is $26,500 per employees. And I'll get more into that in the following slide. Projected personnel expenses. Notable increase. In 2018, the LSB hired general manager, and in 2019, the program director. I'm sorry, not 2019, in 2018. So you had two full-time employee hires last year, and again, this is before my tenure, and this was something that you all felt was necessary that the station had. I felt it was necessary, as Christine was serving as the interim general manager before my tenure began, I felt she brings a lot to the station in terms of fundraising, and it would have been a poor decision on my part not to employ her, so we did employ her. Alan, who served as the interim the interim program director, had his position as a senior producer guaranteed by SAG-AFTRA, the SAG-AFTRA collective bargaining agreement, so he was afforded that going back to the senior producer. Although he's not that in a full-time capacity, he is in a part-time capacity. Alan was served as the IPD for about 10 years, which should have not gone on for so long, and I think the station did take advantage of that. So as a person of honoring agreements, I honored that with the SAG-AFTRA CBA. In 2019, we hired a part-time employee to assist with media sponsorships and weekly newsletters. We also had a 2% increase for living wage. Now, the healthcare costs have gone up by a long shot. $89,000 worth of new healthcare expenses or increased healthcare expenses. We've also budgeted $36,000 for this year to pay into the Pacifica loan that in part is against our building. So that's another expense that normally we would not have on our line items. Now, folks call for a removal, people from the air that are paid, trim the fat, whatever, however you want to say it, call it. We do have to abide by the labor union, SAG-AFTRA's collective bargaining agreement requirements. Now, there has not been any significant changes to the collective bargaining agreement in the last several years, from my understanding. And right now, we are under a one-year extension, which expires at the end of September. I do look forward to negotiating with SAG-AFTRA and our union members at the station in looking at ways we can make this a little bit more fair for the station and also more equitable for our employees. Now, the requirements in the SAG-AFTRA agreement require the station to have 4 production staff at a minimum, working 17.5 hours a week, 4 on-air hosts, and 1 on-air news director or reporter at a minimum. Also, union members are given a seniority pay. That is dependent upon the number of years of service and is a different formula. I did not put that in here. Also, all staff members in Pacifica, this goes beyond just the agreement, all benefits are paid, including health benefits for all family members, no matter the size. That, of course, makes it a little bit more reasonable to work for the station, given the fact that the median income is $50,000. Now, going back to the layoff costs.
Can you
lift that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. You have something I can put underneath this?
I'll get something. It's coming.
Okay. As I mentioned, not too high.
I'll get something.
Oh, there we go. Pull it back. No fork, sorry. As I mentioned, the median layoff cost is $26,500 for layoffs. Some of them, are for, of course, for members that have been there longer, will cost more. Now, I did a projection of the cost of, if we wanted to reduce our personnel cost by 30% vis-a-vis layoffs, we're looking at spending a minimum of $199,000 for a projected savings of $522,000. This doesn't include any outsourcing costs, any unknown costs,
I'll get more newspapers.
And other things. As you may or may not know, Pacifica does not have a great track record on any staff layoffs or terminations, and I've been working to not have that during my tenure. I think people need to be honored, and agreements need to be adhered to, and things taken into consideration. Now, the previous general manager took it upon herself just to cut staff's salaries in half without informing them, without having a conversation with the union. And during the beginning of my tenure, I felt it was necessary to repair these relationships, only because these are people that spent a lot of time ensuring that there is a KPFK and that it continues to operate at its highest levels possible. Now I'm going into a section of fund drives. Now, the more and more I look at the fund drive data, the more and more I realize we need better reports coming out of fund drives. This is what I'm working with. So you will be able to better see this when you get emailed. So I went back 5 years, including the last fiscal year, the 2018-2019. In the last fiscal year, we averaged at $19,767 as a daily average. Now that, the lowest year was 2015, which averaged on $18,033. The best year we've had in the last 5 years was 2014, which we had a daily average of $31,164. Now, you should ask yourself why the varying differences, and why are the averages going down? And why aren't we as successful as we are in fundraising? Why do we fundraise as much as we do? I'm going to get into those answers for you. I think from my perspective and assessment, the number one reason why the station suffers in its fundraising efforts, because there has not been a concerted effort to develop the station and its fundraising capabilities. And that I'll get into in a little bit later, but let's break down a couple more things. One of the other reasons why we're in back-to-back fund drives is because of poor cash flow. We are essentially living paycheck to paycheck while holding on to a meager savings and trying not to tap into it. That, as we know, the more frequent the fund drives are, the lower the daily numbers go down. But what we don't really see within that information is how many of those donors are donating for the first time, how many of those donors are donating during every fund drive. Now, let's take that donor. The donor that donates every fund drive, if I have that information on who those donors are, I want to have a conversation with them, because their donation could be best served by donating in another way and maximizing those dollars. I want to personally, along with some of the team, and maybe even some of you, speak with those donors and encourage them to make one, either that large donation rather than during every fund drive at once, or to possibly make a donation or make some of their donations without premiums, and express to them in how much of an impact their donation will have in KPFK and subsequently the communities that KPFK serves. This past year, on air, we raised $2.4 million. We averaged at 27.6 days each fund drive. And during each of those fund drives, the average is $480,000 and change per fund drive. I felt it was necessary to acknowledge and give a nod to Christine. She has single-handedly helped raise over $1 million of that $2.4 million. Now, I think Christine can be utilized in other areas as we look to develop the station rather than just on-air fundraising. She can do some fundraising off the air too as well, and I've seen her do it, and I'd like to put more of her energy towards that. This past summer, I sent a report, or more of kind of a proposal of expanding our fundraising capabilities. As I said, probably one of the number one reasons why KPFK suffers in its fundraising capabilities is the lack of development over the last several years. Now, I'm going to email that to you after today, again, especially for the new members. I think it's very important you take a look at the information I do put in there. One of our biggest issues or problems has been our current donor system, which is MEMSIS. MEMSIS is a clunky system. We can't see real-time data coming in. I couldn't tell you 3 hours on a day of a fund drive. I couldn't tell you after that day ends accurately what we made per hour. Now, MEMSIS, the reason why this is because MEMSIS is fed information from various systems. You have your on-air portion, you have your web. Even the web is even broken down. We have our online store, and then we have pure donations from online. All that information is not reflected in real time on the FileMaker spreadsheet that Fred sends out, and I thank Fred for sending those out. Also, one of the biggest things that we need to start doing again is an end-of-the-year direct mail campaign. I don't know how many years it's been since KPFK has done that, and I don't know the statistic, but I believe it's all donated dollars in a given year, 20% of, and I'm talking about nationwide, 20% of that is done in the last year of December, and direct mail campaigns play a big part of that. From my understanding, Quincy, the general manager at KPFA. They do an end of the year direct mail campaign, generates anywhere between $100,000 and $200,000. That alone would have raised more money than we have in this given fund drive. This slide at the top, it says developing KPFK. One of the biggest instruments and tools and solutions we needed is a new platform. And I felt we need an end-to-end, a platform that provides end-to-end solutions.
What does that mean?
End-to-end solutions means it's going to help us facilitate the direct mail campaign. And for example, this is how we will be doing it next year. Because our donors are very diverse people, and one appeal doesn't fit all donors. Some people tune in for music, some people tune in for Ian Masters, some people tune in for whatever else they want. So for example, let's take the Ian Masters donor. They will be getting an appeal letter at the end of the year from Ian Masters, which will increase the likelihood that they will donate. Now, in order for us to have that information on what programs they donate to historically, and also to ask them the questions of what programs they listen to, we need the right platform to do that, and Allegiance helps provide that solution. I think with our current system, our donors are two-dimensional beings. We have no idea what they listen to. We don't have any historic, easily readable historic information on what programs they donate to, or give them an opportunity to tell us what they like about the station, and for us to use that information to better know them and better make appeals with them, and also look for opportunities for them to fund the station. Station has been operating way too long and looking at donors as ATMs. I want to look at donors as partners within the community, a community organization that we pride community participation in, and develop relationships. Relationships is so key in modern day fundraising to raise funds. Now, we operate without CRM. CRM is constituent relationship management. That is a tool that does some of the things I'm telling you in developing those relationships and managing them. It would be nice to send a donor a thank you and happy birthday. Here's a bumper sticker, here's a t-shirt, here's a mug. Just want to say thank you for supporting KPFK. I think it's important that we engage with our donors on a number of levels. Now, another way to reduce expenses is to reduce premium costs. We can reduce premium costs by expanding our sustainer base and producing more in-house premiums. I've been working to further develop the KPFK speaker series. That experience going to an event is a premium we offer during fund drives, but also we produce a DVD of digital content for our donors to also support us in the future, and we send that as a thank you gift. I think more of those, and we do things in-house, and we stop, promoting, not stop completely, but reduce the amount of products we offer on the air and go to these companies, because some of these companies do offer us discounts on these items, and ask them for support. In the past couple of months, you'll find on our website, if you go to kpfk.org/support, we've put up additional fundraising vehicles. Donor advised funds. That is a big explosion right now in the philanthropic world for funds being channeled to nonprofits. I won't get into exactly what that is, but I was happy to know that in November we did receive some donation through donor advised funds, approximately $5,000. We also now have an account at Bank of America to accept stocks and other financial trade vehicles. There you go, financial stocks and mutual funds, etc., that can be donated to the station. We do still have our vehicle program, and we have information on our website to encourage folks, if they can, to make donations through their charitable IRA distributions. We're also in the process of fine-tuning our legacy giving program, because we don't want to just ask people to just give a bequest. We want them to feel a part, that they're imparting a legacy upon the station, and that includes a name on the tree, a visit to the station. I tend to engage with the family after we have received requests and ask them questions on how we can best honor those donations from the deceased. I took this quote from Penelope Burke. 93% of donors would give again, and 60% would give more if you communicate more effectively. Now, this means we need to put the donor at the center of our fundraising, which we do not. We put premiums at the center of our fundraising efforts. I look forward over the years, if you guys still have me, would have me as your general manager, of further developing the station, and next year providing a plan in how we will move from premium-driven fund drives to member-driven fund drives. I will email you a full report, the expanding fundraising, which I go a lot deeper in it, and I just want to mention this just to scratch the surface. We aren't even equipped fully to utilize mechanisms to encourage young people to vote and to support the station. And that needs to be a priority of the station as our current donors are passing on or transitioning into ancestorhood. So, looking at cash flow, which I think is one of our biggest biggest immediate problems right now. And needing time in between fund drives. I can't stress this enough, and I've been saying it for the last several months, that we need time in between fund drives, not just that carry on non-interrupted regular programming, but for us to develop the station, give an opportunity for staff that needs training in certain areas to give them training, but also to develop our fundraising campaigns. Other stations are already planning a quarter or a couple quarters in advance of their on-air drives and or their other fundraising campaigns. At best, we've had about a month and a half to plan for the next fund drive. At worst, we've had weeks. I recognize that this is going to be a difficult task difficult thing to solve. Allegiance will help with that. And some of the ways that Allegiance will help is collecting installment donations earlier instead of waiting for each payment of a gift. We'll contact those donors and ask for the remaining donation in advance. May speed up the process. And often the station has had a long practice of sending thank you gifts out before we've collected the full amount of what the donor has pledged. And in some cases, we've had to play collector in getting folks to pony up on what they owe us. And we do also have people that are donor hauling. We had a gentleman that donated, I think, 20 times in the last fund drive, and we had to cut him off. Also, the station has not had a process in place to convert one-time donors into reoccurring donors. Again, as I said earlier, when I look at a fund drive, it's hard to ascertain who are those first-time donors, and to have some automation in place, welcoming them into Pacifica as a donor and a member of the KPFK family. And then also seizing that opportunity to ask them questions and what they like in terms of programming, what other nonprofits do they support, how old they are, what hopes they have for the station, what brought them into the station, and what encouraged them to donate. This is invaluable information for us to develop campaigns and a dialogue between that specific donor in hopes of raising funds over the lifetime of that donor. We need to grow our sustainer base significantly. The reason why let me back up. In the U.S., public media organizations see 40 to 60% of their listener support or viewer support come from sustainer programs. The station, unfortunately, we have poor information, sees about 9 to 11 and at the most 12% of its donor base as sustainers. Reason why it's difficult to see that is we can't accurately separate sustainers from installments. And I won't get into the technical reasons behind that. But that in itself should also express why we have poor information and really need to untangle this mess as we move forward. Some of the temporary, also additional ideas is slow down bill payments as much as practical, but never stop paying required payroll, taxes, and benefits, of course. Some of the things we're looking at is reducing full-time employee hours, and some of the production support for volunteer programs as well. We also, I want to continue to ask or have conversations with donors and grantors to make payments in advance or to contribute to the station in a larger capacity. We also need to look at new sources of incomes. Grants would help us tremendously. Since we've had poor accounting practices in the past years and our audits are behind, it's made it challenging to even pursue grants. If you go to Charity Star Navigator, we have a very poor rating, which isn't encouraging to significant donors and or foundations. I was hearing a conversation I had with a benefactor a number of weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago. I was having lunch with this benefactor in hopes of getting a larger donation. And she had said, it's very difficult to be inspired to want to donate in a large way. When I go to your Pacifica website and I don't see who the members of the board are and what they do and what professional background, professional skill sets they bring to the station. And she further explained, this is one of the things that I look at as someone that donates often to other charities in determining how much I will donate. That the, part of the reason that I had asked her questions, the conversation went on, one of the big reasons why she wants to feel confident in the organization. Now, the members of the public may not be aware, I've sent some emails in regards to the musical chairs of the executive director, and really my point of contention is the lack of stability. No one wants to, it's very rare anybody will want to give money to an unstable organization. It's no different than that you would go to a car lot and buy a car that rattles and is spewing smog or whatnot. You want something you would feel comfortable giving, something that you would feel safe in, and our donors need to be given that same respect and consideration. And this should be a part of any decisions made as moving forward. And so with that, I will take some questions. The takeaways is from this is we want a better reporting process. We want to increase off-air revenue streams, increase sustainer programs, we'll reduce premium costs, and we want to improve our cash flow. Most of all, we want to continue to develop the station.
There we go.
Paulina.
Oh, thanks, Daniel. Sorry. Do I need a microphone?
Can the members of the public also ask questions?
Right behind Bella's.
Okay, so we're going to do questions for Anyel in an orderly fashion.
1 minute 30 seconds.
Okay.
Public comment?
This is questions from the board members. Mm-hmm. And so we'll do short questions. We'll take a stack. So are you able to take a stack? So I see Lawrence, Jan, Nancy, Bella, Oscar. Anybody else? Eric. Sir Eric?
Lawrence.
He was first.
Yes, thank you. So, Anyel, I saw that you did an inequity study in regards to nonprofit salaries. I was wondering if you also gleaned from that inequity study in salaries the amount of income that these nonprofits have, and if they're in a surplus or if they, you know, fighting along the, you know, the keep salaries in line with income. And then the other thing I wanted to find out was. I'm prepared to make a motion when I get at the next national board meeting that we bring in line the central services with the amount of income that's coming in demographically to each unit. And so I just wanted to know if that would help in terms of reducing the expense on central services. If you could respond to my nonprofit thing, yeah.
So let's do, is it possible, let's do 30-second questions and 60-second responses. Okay. Is that enough?
For the first part of your question, that I can't accurately answer that question and refer or pull out of my memory the information from the California Impact Study, how nonprofits conducted. However, I'll be happy to email it again to LSB members to look at. But however, that's a good question. I don't have an accurate answer for that one. But the second part, yes, I think central services should be addressed. You know, KPFK has been, treated unfairly in some regards in terms of having money taken from its account, its accounts and being taxed unfairly, disproportionately compared to other stations. So I would certainly support any motion if that's worth anything. Next person.
Thank you.
Ms. Paulina?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Daniel. So you were saying how Christine Blasdell's work has been crucial for fundraising on air at the station, and you said that she's responsible for over $1 million raised out of the $2.4 million over the last fiscal year. Is that correct? How much airtime does Christine and the products that she is offering on air? What's the part time? How much time does she get on the air? And is that also 1/3 approximately, or is it more? And also, what are her premiums costing to the station?
Glad you asked that question. Yes, she's on more often than not. And now, when I put that number up, it's not something just to celebrate. I thank her for the hard work she puts in. I acknowledge that. But also, it highlights how undeveloped the station has become. We've got to rely on these. There's times during this last year we've given opportunities overwhelmingly and encouraged programmers to participate in on-air fundraising. And we've taken an approach of trying to help train folks and offer them an opportunity to succeed. This is another reason why we need more time in between fund drives to adequately train and support our volunteer programmers and enhance our paid programmers' fundraising efforts on air. You know, when I speak with programmers, there's been very little opportunity and our proactive efforts by the station to train and or support them. And I think that's very critical as we move forward with on-air fundraising.
All right. Next question. So, Eric?
That was a good report. You mentioned two things of special interest to me. First, you said that there had been some form of an endowment, and you've talked rather quickly about it. It's something that I sort of semi-campaigned on for this position. Tell me a little bit about what structure there is, if any, currently in that regard, and what it consists of, essentially.
Well, the station doesn't have an endowment anymore, and actually this is something I find needs some investigation. So I've been doing my homework in trying to understand when this endowment happened, who it is, and trying to find when the money was taken. I think it's a mystery that needs to be solved because I want to encourage other people to give endowments. I think that's another way people can support the station and give for years to come. Granted, we wouldn't have gotten a lot on a year-to-year basis from $20,000, but nonetheless, the important factor is that, I'm not going to say her name and who gave the endowment, but she deserves to be respected and her contribution honored and valued. And that further underscores my stance that donors aren't at the center of our fundraising effort. And they are people. We need to put faces to the donations, not just digits and commas. So if you have ways to get more endowments and want to help participate in fundraising, I think I'm here. I don't think I've ever met you, but I'm excited at the fact. And let me just add on that my closing remark on this, your question is, I highly, highly encourage all board members to participate in the fundraising process. And I want to take a moment to thank those that have participated. Ali Lexa, Paulina, Bella, Fred comes in and answers phones, the Aarons have come and answered phones, Kiana, and Jan recently hosted an event. Ernesto as well. Rodrigo, he helped put on an event last month. So I think more people participating in fundraising is only better for our future.
Yeah. Quick follow-up, like just 5 seconds. Just define endowment versus an ordinary donation for us.
An endowment, just the gist of an ordinary donation goes into our operating funds, which means we can spend it any way that we want. An endowment is, if you want a picture, like a trust fund. So basically we would live off of the proceeds or the dividends from that endowment on a year-to-year basis. A lot of schools fund fund their operations with endowments, and they take the proceeds from that. And I think PBS has somewhere in the ballpark range of $4 million in an endowment they received recently.
All right,
are we sending out annual requests to renew to our donors who've donated in the past, like, you know, if...
Not expired.
Not expired. When you know, if Mr. Jacobson donated $60 last year, just for whatever, to just at the end of the year or whatever time, to just send out, would you renew? You know, something that's in an envelope, I mean, could be both emailed and in an envelope with a remit envelope that just says, you donated $60 last year. Can we count on you to renew this year? So it's not a massive mailing. It's just to the people who we've...
Okay, understood.
Good idea.
The station hasn't done that in years. And that is one of the things we will be doing post-Allegiance transition. I think it'll give us a great look at what, you know, because we're going to have different appeals for those different donors that stopped donating. And we would want to ascertain why they stopped giving. But the appeal letter would be different from somebody that stopped donating last year than somebody that stopped donating three plus years ago. And I think it's important to convey what the station wants to achieve and that some of the problems we've resolved in moving forward and have them be a part of it. And hopefully they will contribute and or give them the opportunity to meet with myself and or any of the programmers that they love. To sit down and break bread with Sonali or whoever it may be, or even Polina. But I think that should become a normal part of our annual operations in terms of direct mail campaigns.
Is it possible, even if we don't have Allegiance, to just send it this year? Because
this year we can't do it. Allegiance is a 6-month process.
No, I'm saying without Allegiance, just like we have their numbers and whatever, to just send them a letter and a remit envelope.
Let me say this: I would have wanted to do an end of the year campaign for this year, given the fact that we've had a lot of fund drive days and also the additional stress on membership. To move to Allegiance, this isn't just an overnight process. It's a 4-6 month process, which we've already started. And it'll be March when the end of March, we complete the transition and start training. I think that in itself will also reveal a lot more data that clean up a lot of the data that needs to be cleaned up in order to have a successful direct mail campaign.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your report. Along the lines of what I was going to bring up, too, is the follow-up. For over 50-plus years of activism, every organization I have belonged to sends me an annual renew your membership, renew your support. Now it's by email. Also, they send something during the year letting me know, they exist, what they're doing. I don't even get an email saying, this is our programming, listen. I don't get an appeal. I don't even get a thank you for my contribution. Why don't we have a membership person on staff doing it?
Okay. I completely agree with you. And a lot of this has to do with our broken systems. I don't want to make an excuse for it. It's just next to impossible to do it given human work. We got to work more effectively and efficiently. And we don't have the tools. We haven't had the tools to do that. I will share this one quick story with you. During the July fund drive, I have called a major donor in hopes of getting a major donation to also thank him and let him know that we're here. And I thanked him for a donation he gave earlier in the year. I think it was $2,000. And so he said, Mr. Fields, I just donated last week. So that's how slow our information is. And this is how bad it's gotten. We've fallen behind the times in terms of we need to, you know, someone pledges for an item that's an email gift. They get an email. We have to wait weeks after the fund drive to even process this. It's not because there isn't a will by the staff to want to do this. It's just the system. And in this modern day, when somebody makes a donation, they call in and make a donation. After the credit card is processed, they should get the email. And you know, we got to meet that expectation. We live in a different time. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but this is one of the reasons why I have pushed for us to move to another system. It was Salesforce at first. Some of you know that have been here for the conversation before. It's Allegiance. And KPFA is also moving to Allegiance too, as well. And our Houston station is on Allegiance.
All right, quickly, I have it's more of a comment, not a question. You had mentioned, I guess, procurement of grants. I agree with that. I think it's very simple and cost-effective and probably free to just put, you know, the board members' information on the page. I know we all provided, like, brief essays about who we are, what we represent, and what we want to bring to the station. You know, whether it's, like, something like a group photo or tents at the meetings, because I know a lot of new people were elected today.
5 seconds.
So, you know, we don't necessarily know the public. They don't necessarily know us. Right. And I think that would increase a lot of, you know, funding if that simple step was completed.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. I mean, I would love to help facilitate Ali's webmaster. I think we can certainly create a page. I would actually encourage that. You have a nice picture of yourself, your name, and maybe a quote and a title, and maybe your email address, too, as well. I also try and steer those members and listeners that want to engage with the board to email you or the Pacifica National Board when it calls for it.
Mr. Oscar?
Yeah. We know that you are definitely focused on the numbers, on the donation, I mean, especially on the big numbers, which is, of course, seems to be like the emergency in what KPFA is right now in the whole Pacifica. But for some reason, I'm not hearing, or I never heard, if that's going to be the model forever. I never hear you say what is the strategy for the community engagement and to focus into a more bigger X spectrum of the people, of the listeners, rather than only a few donors over and over and over.
I encourage you to read my last report and where I did put that in there and how we can create opportunities to engage with community organizers and community organizations to participate either in fundraising or to increasing the value of the station and its impact and enhance its impact in the communities. I'm a firm believer a community is only as strong as the relationships within it. And that, of course, goes beyond just the donors. I do want to participate with community organizations and do what I can to encourage community organizations to hold fundraisers for the station, as well as our board members.
Okay, so here we go. First of all, I want Alan Minsky out of there like yesterday. All the funds, all the money that he continues to get while the salaries are killing the station, that's the reason why the station is dying. Because $260,000 worth of salaries was a high increase just last year. Fiscal year. Alan Minsky's part of that. Why do we hire a program director while maintaining Alan Minsky? Isn't Alan Minsky in control of everything?
Time.
And why is it that you keep talking about
time?
Ian Masters. So Ian Masters.
Let's
talk about the reality.
You have points of contention with particular people.
No.
It's my time to answer the question. You obviously have points of contention about particular people. As the general manager, I am not going to lay off or fire anybody by way of your order and pointing them out. That is unfair. The station and the foundation stand for fair labor practices, a fair working environment, and for people to be treated with respect. Well, yeah. Now, before I was hired... before I was hired, there was a process to hire a program director.
Just walk out.
There was a process to hire a program director, and I felt it was necessary that we respected Alan, whether or not his name is Alan, could have been anybody in it. He was in an interim position for 10 years. Whether you like him or don't like him, that's on you. But nobody deserves to be in an interim position for 10 years. And the station should have made this decision well long ago.
Thank you. We have two more, and then we're going to continue with the agenda because we are...
Yes.
Can that be saved for public comment?
Public comment
is coming. If there's a motion to move public comments before we finish the elections, we can do that. However, I would love to finish the elections and then hear the comment from the public.
Sounds good to me.
We are 50 minutes over time right now, so two more from the board for Anyo. Grace.
Okay, I'd like to acknowledge all the hard work that the KPFK staff does. However, we're reaching a financial crisis across the network. There's no extra money at the national level. All of our stations are having cash flow crises. The fiscal year 2020 began on October 1st. Allegiance may or may not pan out as an increase to our income. In the meantime, we've been increasing fund drive days. We can't do that much more. Our expenses are exceeding our income. We either need to increase income in the short term. Allegiance is not going to be rolled out till April. Before that time, we're going to have a serious cash flow crisis. How are we going to either increase revenue or decrease expenses significantly?
Well, to make it even easier, I would say roll back the last few hires you've had. That would include myself. That would include Kevin Fleming. And that would include Christine. That's probably the easiest layoffs you can make today. And if you want to do that, I would certainly would be willing to work with a volunteer general manager on a consultant basis to help with that transition. Those are the last few hires you guys have done. I didn't put forward a general search. I didn't put forward a program director. The local station board made that decision. So with that, I'm utilizing those resources to make the best of what we can. A focus has been on raising as many funds off air as possible. And that's why I put a lot of time into engaging with the community, engaging with public officials, as well as some of our major donors so that we can call upon them when we need them. I'm happy to look at layoffs as I've clearly laid out, and if we've got to do that, we've got to take into consideration that we are not going to see the benefits initially in terms of cost, because there is that initial cost of layoffs. And I'm not going to do it like the previous general manager did, and not abide by our collective bargaining agreement, and not treat people as decent human beings that have gone above and beyond to serve the station.
Time. All
right, Mr. Jim.
Yes. First, I want to thank you for your hard work that went into that presentation. Very, very comprehensive and illuminating for me. I'm going to take you up on your offer. You know, to talk to you later. Would you do me a favor, and I'd like to get your advice, not right now, but please email it to Michelle or to whoever normally gets emails for the next meeting. And would you kind of prioritize the top three things, top five things, then another, you know, bottom, a middle tier priority, and then a third tier priority of your presentation?
Absolutely.
I have a point of order, Chair.
Recognize. Thank you. So before Mr. Zuberi leaves, we amended the agenda to have him give his report first because he had a time crunch. And so I believe at the same time we need to have the public benefit from that before we go back into elections. So that's why.
Do you have a motion?
Request. Well,
second.
You already amended the agenda, so that's my point of order that we should continue now with public comment.
So entertaining a motion to move public comment to directly after this Q&A?
No, it's already scheduled.
Okay.
There's also review of the budget with discussion.
Didn't finish the election.
And then the
I second the motion.
Is that a motion?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Moving the first public comment to directly after this portion. Any objections?
Yes.
So we go to a vote?
Yes.
Okay, so let's take a vote. A vote of yes is to move public comment directly after this portion. So
can
that
I
the
get to be a roll call?
Sorry?
A roll call vote.
A roll call?
Unless we could.
Right.
We are going.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So raise your hand if you agree with the motion to move the first public comment to directly after this portion so that Aniel is still present for those comments.
A point of order. What is the duration of the public comment?
10 minutes. Is it?
10.
It's 10.
It's
10 on the agenda, yeah.
A roll call was called?
No, it's okay. I called that roll call.
Okay. So, raising your hand.
For what?
For moving public comment.
Yes. 9, 10, 11, 12 yeses.
Okay. No vote. We'll keep public comment where it is. No. Raise your hands. That's seeing two.
Two. Three.
Abstentions?
One.
Motion passes. Two abstentions. Motion passes. And so, Aniel, if you can hang around for 10 minutes of public comment after...
But we're done now. We're going to public comment.
Was there one more that needed to ask a question? No, that
no,
was it.
That was it.
Okay, so moving to 10 minutes of public comment.
90 seconds.
So it's 90 seconds per comment, if you will.
Can
someone offer them a microphone? Please form a line.
And I'm not able to answer questions, right?
No.
Can we make an exception?
He should answer questions.
Yeah.
The GM is not a board member. He's an official.
Is this public comment limited to the presentation, right?
General public comment.
Point of order. The general member said he's not part of the LSB. He is. The general manager is a non-voting member of the local board.
Thank you. Jan?
May I propose that because of time constraints, but also because, the...
We have a motion on the floor. Jan, what is your motion?
That because of time constraints and because Mr. Fields would like to comment, I'd like to propose that after public comment that he be given 3 minutes of additional time, which we could call... GM report so that we are losing time.
The motion is 3 minutes for Aniel to respond after the 10-minute public comment portion.
If he has time and wants to.
We do have a second for that motion. Any objections? Motion passes. So, Aniel, after 10 minutes of public comment, you can take your notes throughout and you'll have 3 minutes to respond. Let's begin with public comment. 90 seconds.
We're passing the last fundraiser that we did. It's almost $4,000. We provided to the radio station, right? So when we talk about respect, we feel respected because next week, not this one, but the 24th, we're going to be preempted again. Under, the argument that to bring a little joy to our community, we're going to have a special programming. But it means that my community will not have the time to listen to that little joy. Because somebody else decided that our community, even though we are providing right now with the amount that we raised at the fund drive and the event that we did, almost 4,000. Of course, if we were 24/7, then we would be probably raising pretty much the same amount as the
lady. That's
right. That's right.
Can we finish talking? So we asked Hanja to change that decision because you're the boss of Kevin Fleming. And Kevin Fleming has decided to take us from the air, right, even though we are part of the people who pay his salary. So,
15 seconds.
Okay, perfect. What is the issue? We're going to be bringing, every time we raise the money, we're going to be bringing it and dropping it right here. So you do not repeat what happened last time that the Spanish language programmers do not raise no money. We don't raise no money. Why? Because we are not on the air when there is fundraise. We are preempted. How can we raise money if we are not on the air?
That's correct.
I mean, like, just the logics.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Elisa Mejia. I'm a Spanish programmer at KPFK. I do a women's show in Spanish, and I'm part of the Association of Spanish Programs. I have really serious concerns. I know there was good points made today by Anil regarding that donors are not at the center of fundraising events, but we are the community. Community members need to be at the center of fundraising events. Mm-hmm. And we proved it with an event we had called Voz, Canto y Lucha. This was a few weeks ago. We had an event in South LA. Many people walking down the street came to the event. Some people became members, and we spoke with people about Spanish programs and what it means to be community radio and what community radio looks like. The problem is we didn't have support from the general manager.
Yeah,
during the day, why wasn't that event promoted? Why weren't there any promos? Nothing, zero. We couldn't even ask for it. He said no. There was a lot of issues and complications, almost obstacles for us when we're trying to give money. We actually turned in money. Money was turned in to Mr. Fields a few days ago at KPFK. There, I think that report, please take time and look at it. But we did not get support that we needed from KPSK. How do you think that feels when we are working so hard? We're volunteer programmers, and we don't have support from the radio station that we're supporting and trying to create more membership.
Right.
Think about how that feels for us.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Lydia Ponce. I apologize to you for not meeting with you previously. I had a real tragic family emergency that took me out of the state for several weeks, closer to months. But being back, my concern is that we need to walk our talk.
Yes.
And if we're not divesting what little funds go through the station, when people, I know that you could campaign on the very idea that we have divested from people from that are Bank of Apartheid, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Chase, these big conglomerates that are very much in control of ecocide, genocide, and femicide, the reports on which are happening and sometimes not happening at KPFK. I commend you for this report. It's very transparent. I'm sorry that we don't get to dig deeper. And I look forward to supporting this board and the movement of community advocacy and accountability.
Thank you.
Robert Payne speaking. I recently retrained in the phone room software. It is good software, however, it is limited. First, the software does not automatically bring up people who are 11 months into their subscription to KPFK. If there is time in the phone room and we are not engaged in receiving calls, we should be calling outward. Also, when a returning member comes up on the screen, we do not get a profile and the interest list of that person's personality. We do not get a bulleted list of their concerns. If we had time in the phone room and we could make conversation with the people, we could learn more. Also, I know how to type. I can type that information into the data system. We need to get more people who are already giving to give again. It's wonderful to hope for $500,000 in grants and whatnot. But if we can identify they who are giving now, we can get more. Also, if we can identify the programs that they are giving to, we can identify the winning programs, and we can identify the parasites. So, go from there.
What's your name?
Payne.
Robert Payne. Hi, I'm Kim Kaufman. Most of you know me, and hello to the new people. I'm here today primarily because I'm recording this, because previous meetings have been edited, which I've listened to. I think that's a problem when they're on KPFTX, as if they're the real meeting, when there are obvious edits in them. So I'm recording it. It was an interesting presentation. Was it very, Annual? You might, I don't, it sounds like you never talked to Terry. A lot of the information you see, he has. I've seen it. I know he has it. You can get reports out. I'm not sure why there's a lack of communication there. I mean, you said we need better reporting, but you act like you have no agency with the people who work at the station, like the bookkeeper or the manager. Well, my favorite thing is, like, how to get our cash flow better. Slow down bill payments. We've seen how that works when bills are just thrown into draws. It does not work. There'll be more public comment. The material world was $30,000 taken out of our account to pay for KPFK's health benefits. Yeah, it was taken out without permission, but it didn't go elsewhere. It went to pay health benefits for KPFK because they could not pay it at that time.
Time.
So,
thank you, Kim.
Hello, thank you. Michael Zeno, long-time listener and Sustainable Network. Thanks, everybody, for coming. I think we all have very passionate views about the station and sometimes argumentative views, but I think we all agree that we want to see the station thrive and do well and continue on. So if we can remember a little bit of that spirit. Thank you for coming, Mr. Fields, today. Thank you for your report. I think fundraising might not be such a headache at the station if you had more programs that people wanted to listen to,
yeah.
Product that people wanted, and not just the same old pre-recorded, run it again, doesn't matter if it ran last week, last month, just keep running it and running it and running it until nobody notices anymore.
That's right.
Can we get a little live programming over there? 4 hours between 6 a.m. and 12, 4 hours the studio is dark. What are you guys doing over there? If you're not working on live programming at the station, what do we need 30, almost 3 dozen people running around over there for? With sound reasons. What's Alan Minsky doing all day? And is it senior producer? Has there ever been a senior producer at the station before? What's his job description? What does he do?
Good question.
Okay. I'm passionate too about this station. I've been a long-time listener. The fundraisers, they come on, they want to get you, help you write a book. I'm going to write a book called Duped, about my relationship with KPFK. And let's donate another book about it, because that's how I feel about it.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you for coming. Get
Minsky out.
Did you mention a 12-step program?
Good afternoon. My name is Harvey Itter. I'm speaking for myself and for the Public Solar Power Coalition. Making a public comment, taking the opportunity. I hadn't had any contact. It's through climate change, and I had an uncle, Norm Belkin, that did child's programming in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Anyway, I'm homeless. I got hurt working a long time ago, and I've been 7 years on the street. There are meetings after this in 360. I've been extensively in the environmental movement. I'd like to encourage the 50-year anniversary of the environmental movement. Also, the June issue of Climate Links, of Change Links. I want to get many, many copies of it, using it in litigation against the Air Pollution Agency, the state, and EPA. The Arctic smelting of the September issue of National Geographic. And that it was in, you folks brought it up, and it isn't being dealt with. We got kicked out 2 weeks ago of Ninth Circuit Federal Court trying to file a writ of mandate in the state of the proceedings not to accept the 16 plan for the Air District, 42% of the state. So homelessness, there's two types of Section 8. There's a home ownership program that's being purged. Instead of paying a renter, it's owned to buy, and it's being done in about 1,000 areas in the last 8 years. Anyway.
Thank you.
Good morning. I just had a couple of questions. For the next fund drive coming up this year, I guess we've always been preempted or taken off the air from 8 p.m. to midnight. It's like a tendency for many years. And what's happened during those times sometimes is that there's been changes in the board and whatnot. But then it's during those times that we're taking either programming off, like when we were on Fridays between 7 and 8. It was during that fun drive that we were taking off the air, and then when we came back, we were no longer there. So it's like a tactic, I think, or maybe correct me if I'm wrong, that these fun drives are used to get rid of us slowly and progressively. Because that's what it's turning into. An example today. We have a fun drive right now, we're off the air, and we get an email that we're not going to be on. Right? So, I mean, what's going on here? Like, what's really happening? And coming to the next year, how is this going to be conducted? Or do you guys want us to be here all the time? That you're attempting to make these preemptions and, you know, and taking us off the air. When is it going to stop? How is it going to go on? Is it going to keep going? Thank you.
Thank you. Last public comment.
Yes, good afternoon. First, I'd like to congratulate the new board members. Number two, I'd like to express my appreciation for the GM's contribution today, Anil. On the subject specifically of thank you gifts, so you talked about perhaps you'd like to do more in-house produced programs, I mean premiums or thank you gifts. I'd like to suggest instead that there should be no premiums that the station actually buys. I think there's a serious problem. Let's say I'm a doctor who's a host on one of these programs. My on-the-air time is worth thousands, perhaps even millions of dollars. That should be enough payment, quote-unquote.
Yep.
Okay, no more paid-for premiums.
Thank you.
Now, number three, the real elephant in the room, and I hardly anybody seems to want to address this, is the over $4 million of debt we're in right now. We're behind the eight ball. It's hard to compute the exact amount, but at least $4 million under which we're suffering. And I use that word advisedly. We need to, one way or another, bite the bullet and do something really serious to find and resolve this overarching problem, overarching a terribly serious problem. Otherwise, we're just, like, spitting into the wind. We're just going to get nowhere. Good day.
Thank you. 3 minutes.
I feel like I'm being besmirched with some of the comments here that I don't involve programmers into the fundraising process or on air or even try and support them. That is absolutely ludicrous claim. This year alone, we have included more programmers in the on air process, those that are willing to participate, and we've offered to assist and in some cases train. I even provided some training for Ruben Tapia, who is a Spanish language programmer, and his collective before the October fund drive. Look, I'm not here to set anybody up for failure. I want to set people up for success. And so we gave an opportunity during most of the fund drives this past year, and this is a reflection upon what I was saying. We need time in between fund drives to set folks up for success. It's not about you didn't give me a chance to do this or that. That is absolutely false. That is not the way that I've managed the station. That is not my track record. I've even extended hands to help board members raise funds and or awareness. So I'm not going to sit here and be besmirched and have false claims thrown my way. I have been a general manager with a door open, and I have afforded myself to sit down with anybody, and I mean just about anybody, to come in my office with an idea. Some of them are great, and some of them not. So we want to go to this last event. I made every effort, including Kevin, including other members of the staff, to support this event. This was a third-party event. This was not on our books to be audited. This is a third-party event.
A third-party event
means someone outside of our organization spends money out of their own pocket, funds this event, and makes a donation of the proceeds to the station. That I'm very thankful for. And we were very happy to promote them. Given the fact that we were in a fund drive, that makes it difficult to even serve the community and folks like Rodrigo and other members of the community that put on this fundraiser to adequately promote them. I mean, this is what goes on. So to say that I don't give a damn or A, B, and C or I'm this kind of a person, I think that just needs to be clear. I'm here to help youth raise funds. I would love more help in raising funds. Trust me there. You see the numbers. Now, I love Robert's call, his suggestions. in having the donor's information, interest information, pop up on the screen when they call. Other call centers have that. That's exactly what I'm talking about in terms of engaging and putting a face behind the donor. Now, about preempting programs, again, we've got to use what's effective, and unfortunately, most donors are responding to these premiums. There are times we're on the air, and I've been on the air during some of these hours just to pitch the station. And I go back again. We're not going to be successful in doing that until we have adequate time to develop the messaging for that. And to celebrate the value of the station and what people are contributing to. And I guess my time is up.
Thank you. There's a motion. Does somebody want to make a motion for a break?
Yes, I'd like to.
Motion second. Seconded. Okay. Any objections to a five-minute break?
3 minutes. It should be 7 minutes, really.
Any objections to a five-minute break?
Come on.
Seeing no objection, five-minute break. Back at 1:18.
Can I have a point of personal privilege? Just because Ariel is here.
Okay.